Could you pray for me for a moment? Could you pray that I will speak words that will help the Lord touch your heart? And I'll pray that you're able to hear what He wants you to hear. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our gospel today, which is essentially the gospel that we always use on the first Sunday of Lent, next year and the year after we'll use the version from Mark or the version from Luke, but the temptation in the desert is always the first gospel that we use the first Sunday of Lent. It's kind of ironic because this temptation actually occurs after 40 days. So what I'd like to recommend is that you read this gospel again at the end of Lent, and it will help you to persevere. Maybe read it like Palm Sunday. It'll help you to persevere through Holy Week. So I'm not going to preach about the gospel. I'm going to preach about the first reading. Partially because I already preached about the gospel at the 8 a.m. Mass, and I don't want our seminarians to get bored. And there's so much good stuff to say about the first reading, which talks about temptation not only after 40 days of fasting and prayer in the Lenten season, but temptation that assails us every day. And we can read from that original sin some insights that will help us to safeguard against sin, and we can start to see the evil logic that leads us to make the wrong decisions. At the heart of it, it's a matter of trust. Trust. And at two levels, trust between man and woman, and trust between human beings and God. We don't get the full account of Genesis 2, chapter 2 and chapter 3 in our first reading, so you have to allow me to flesh that out a little bit. And maybe you recall from your own reading of Genesis, when God gave the command in the garden, when He said, "You shall not eat of the tree at the center of the garden," do you remember who was there? Not Eve. Eve was not there. Now, who is the one that's being tempted in our passage that we heard this morning? Eve. Eve's the one being tempted. And she actually replies with the wrong answer when the devil says, "Did God really say you can't eat of any of the trees of the garden?" She gets the first part right. No, not any of the trees, just the tree in the center of the garden. She gets that right. But then she says, "You shall not eat it or even touch it." God didn't say anything about touching the tree. Where'd she get that part from? And what we have here is the first communication breakdown. Where'd she learn the commandment from? The guy, right. Already at the beginning, men were failing to communicate effectively. And we have a second problem. While Eve is having this conversation with the serpent, the most important encounter of her entire life, and the most important encounter of their married life. And where is he? Well, it actually gets to the end of the passage and it says, "And she gave him the fruit," she gave the fruit to Adam, who was with her. What was he doing? The first couch potato. So we have a communication breakdown, and we have a marriage that's not working out like it's supposed to, because also, if we look back at the beginning, when God says, "It is not good for the man to be alone, I will make a helper for the man." Now, that word helper in Hebrew is not like someone to do the dishes. That word helper is actually someone, as we hear in the Psalms, a help against the foe, a helper who will assist man in doing good, a helper who will keep man focused on God, that they're a team for the Lord against the enemy. That's the kind of help that God envisions in marriage and family. So, a couple of remedies. Communication, very important. And in particular, that we communicate about the faith. It's a place where family prayer can be a great blessing. That we read the scriptures together, that husband and wife and their children are the happy beneficiaries. Read the scriptures together, remind each other. If Adam and Eve had practiced this commandment a little bit better, she may have been better prepared. If she had questioned, what did God say exactly again? Can we go over that again? If we would read the Word of God, if we would pray together, if families prayed together, husband and wife prayed together, it strengthens. And then the man for the woman and the woman for the man can be a real help against the foe. I'm focusing on families. We can elaborate that, of course, to single people and extended families, that we have Christian community and we support each other in our faith. We do that in a strong way here at Mass, absolutely. But we need to carry that into the week. Carry that into the rest of our lives. Practice that. Hear that. Now, another dimension that we have a problem with is the trusting in God. What the enemy, the seed of deception that he sows, is that there's something that God has that you need to be happy, and it would be better if you just took it for yourself. I want to step away from that a moment and tell you about a situation that I have. I work in the seminary at St. Vincent, and there's a seminarian who has a Keurig machine. You know, those amazing machines that produce coffee very quickly. They're always ready to produce more coffee, and it can be very good coffee. He has one of those Keurig machines. Now, he is extremely generous, and he says to me, "Come in, my door is always open. You're always welcome. Take coffee whenever you want." And I take him up on that. So I go to his room. Sometimes he's there. And when he's there, it's a blessing because then not only do I get coffee, I get a relationship. We share some things, talk about how things are going, what's happening in prayer, what's that commandment again? See, we have that communication that's happening there. And I get a little coffee in the deal. Now, I could start to think, what if he holds out on me one day and won't give me that coffee? Maybe I should just get my own Keurig. Right? See how that starts to work? What if I can't trust him and depend on him to give me this thing that I... Now, this is... Coffee is not really essential for life. You might think it is, but anyway, it actually isn't. But if there was something even more essential for life and for happiness, what if I'm depending on someone to share that, and there's a chance that they would stop sharing that? That's essentially the temptation that the enemy is giving to Adam, or to Eve in this case, really to both of them together. What God has, you need to be happy, and why depend on him? Why not just take it for yourself so that you don't need him anymore? And we can elaborate that out to human relationships and all kinds of things. If I had everything I need to be happy and I didn't have to depend on anyone else, my life would be more secure. That's the deception. Twofold, that I could actually provide all of my own happiness for myself, and that there would ever be a time that God wouldn't share this with me. And let's think about the illogic in this already. God has already shared with Adam the knowledge of good and evil. What did he tell him? Don't eat from the tree, that's evil. Eat from the other trees, take care of the garden, that's good. Adam already has a knowledge of good and evil, thanks to God. Why would he believe that God would somehow take that away from him? Take away what he needs to be human, to be happy. In fact, he's already made in the image and likeness of God. Why does he need something else to make him in the image and likeness of God? And we see Adam and Eve grasping at this thing so that they won't need God. Because maybe he'll hold out on them someday. We do that in a lot of different ways. Some ways, when we're building up financial security for ourselves, some ways when we're building up coffee security for ourselves, some ways when we're building up different kinds of security, as long as I have the right insurance policy, as long as I have the right backup plans, as long as I have the, then I won't need God. And that's where the enemy inserts that temptation. We do better when we can share with each other. When we can share with each other, we receive what we need from each other, and we receive a relationship. Such a blessing. When we can share with God, who will never hold out on us. He will always provide for us what we need. That's actually what Jesus brings up in the gospel, and that's the other homily from this morning. You can ask somebody from the 8 a.m. Mass. See how the sharing works out? See, just talk to people and you get more. So, but God will always be faithful. He has always been faithful, and He will always be faithful. And He invites us again to trust in Him. So again, share with each other. Share prayer. Share a reminder, encouragement, strengthen each other. We need each other to build each other up, to remind each other about the commandments. What we heard in the first reading was sharing sin. We do far too much of that. Stop sharing gossip, stop sharing sin, stop sharing all of the self-sufficiency and bitterness and division and everything else. Share the commandment, share the prayer, share that in families. And renew your trust in God. When you find yourself trying to secure your own life, to seek your own security, ask the question, is this something that I should be receiving from the Lord? Am I afraid He's not going to be faithful? Am I afraid He's not going to give me what I need to be happy? And then we can think about the cross and the Eucharist that we will now celebrate. He never fails to give us everything in Jesus, to give us all the love that we need, to give us everything we need to be happy.